Today is our last installment for the Work and Witness series that we started at the end of August. And throughout September, we've been looking at the lectionary, the four reading pieces in the suggested readings for each church participating in the Revised Common Lectionary. And I've looked for the texts that speak particularly about or have a figure or a job, an occupation that jumps out. And today it was a little bit easier as I've prayed and asked God to lead us in our next installment, this being our last for this series. As we look at Matthew 21 through 6, it's business owners that rise to the top, no pun intended. It's the owner of the vineyard who is the subject of this text, as Jesus tells a parable that includes laborers that Jose read about and an owner of a vineyard. So today I'm asking that you consider what realm of influence that you have that may be an opportunity for you to influence somebody, help somebody, give somebody a helping hand. In what way do you have some authority, some power, some position to advance the kingdom of God by doing what you do? It could be a classroom, it could be a household, you could own a business, or you could be chair of a department, or you have others around you, or you are on your own and trusted to be true to your calling. Now, we have to be careful going into business, and I don't have a lot of experience in business. I think it was fourth grade that I sold bubble gum in the hallways for double the price, and I was making some money. It was great until the principal shut me down. And that's pretty much it. Well, and then in college, I sold subs, made them, and sold them to make some money to get through what was then Eastern Baptist College, now Eastern University. Other than that, my sense of business comes from listening to you and being head of staff here at Wayside and reading throughout my doctorate about how leaders are to lead. One thing I do know, that if you're a business owner or you're somebody who aspires to be one, you will be putting in a lot of time and a lot of energy, and you need to be careful because it can eat you up. It can drain you down. And if you're going to go into business, you need to have at least a commitment of some 5 years before it's clear that this enterprise is going to last. And it may be 2 years before you ever have enough money to pay yourself. And if you're not careful with time management, you can lose your marriage, and you can become estranged from your children because you are so involved 24/7 with making this venture happen. Now, to be in business, you have to know some basic things, way beyond what I know. Cash flow, profit margins. You need to be able to have a sense of your inventory. You need to have a business plan if you're going to approach a bank and get some financing, or some friends who might invest in your business. But beyond that, if you're to be a Christian business owner, if you're to run a Christian family, if you're to be in a Christian band, if you're going to have some way to influence the world through your faith and what you do as an occupation, to see your work as a vocation, a Christian vocation, there are other things, including working with integrity, honesty, and making a product that has quality or a service that really does bless others. Because what you do reflects your Lord and Master. And if it's money, it's going to reflect your money. And if your attitude is all about me, that's going to trickle down through any employees or friends working with you. And the whole culture of your business is going to be sour. The Bible says more than wealth is a good name, from Proverbs 22. A good name, somebody that is respected in the community. Now, the Bible does say that if you follow spiritual principles, if you put God first, your business will provide you with what you need, not just to survive, but to thrive in this world. There's plenty of scriptures about making money, about being prosperous, and you may indeed be one of those who has deep pockets because of the way you've run your business. But again, it's not about profit. It's about doing what you have to do with what you have, with the gifts that you have. There's a story that Jesus will tell in, I think it's Matthew 25, where he talks about a businessman or a king or a master who is going on a trip. He's going away. He's built his company and his kingdom, and now he's giving out some of the money to three workers, three servants, to work with while he's gone. To one he gives five bags of gold, to another he gives three, and to another he gives one, or talents if you want to call them. The first two dare to invest, watching the master, the money of the master, and now when the master comes back, they've doubled their investment. The master has double the return for the money that he entrusted his workers. It's the third worker, afraid to make a mistake, afraid to take a risk, who didn't even invest in the bank and returned exactly what the master gave him without any effort or imagination on his part. And it is that third one who didn't lose anything. He just didn't, and it's not that he didn't make it. It's just that he didn't try, that was chastised and thrown out into the darkness. And so we have to be careful as we pick and choose Bible verses to say, if I only apply these spiritual principles, I will be rich. And that's not the case. We have to learn spiritual principles, manage debt, try to avoid it, but in this world, that's also part of our economy. So how can we parcel out and manage money to be a blessing for those under us who work alongside us or for whom we have responsibility? So Jesus tells a parable about a master, a vineyard owner. Now this morning, I started my day in my jammies. And most Sunday mornings, about 4 o'clock, I get up and I finish up whatever's not quite ready for Sunday morning. Right? Honestly, I have a weekend that begins Thursday night. And I take Saturday. I used to work all day Saturday, stay up all Saturday night. Sunday would come and I was no further along. So I've learned some time management. And with all the rest of the stuff that I do, 4 a.m. Sunday morning, in my jammies, I finish up. But it used to be I'd get dressed and come into this office. And one time I was there trying to beat the traffic, beat the early comers like Janelle. You know, I would come in by myself, and I got a phone call one morning by a headhunter. It happened to be somebody in the church. They weren't particularly looking to offer me another position. But this was somebody in this church who had a job of finding jobs for people. And he caught me around 5 a.m. and he said, you know what? This is exactly what I try to do. Find people who are already up and at it. People who are diligent, people who care about their position and do whatever it takes to keep the business going. So Jesus tells a story about a vineyard owner who gets up in time to go out to the marketplace and find workers because the grapes are ready to be picked. There's a window of harvest opportunity, and he had to go and find enough laborers, migrant workers, others who are not otherwise engaged to work would be hanging out in the central market. And business owners would come and hire people for the day for the minimum wage of the day, a denarius. Alan Beavers spoke at the first service reading the Bible, and he said he looked it up and denarius was about 20 cents. But if you're going to give it to 20 cents, give it the $8 to $15 minimum wage it would be today. But the arrangement was made, and the owner had to get up early enough, prepare early enough, assess the needs, and then go out and find those who are ready to work. It's like going to the union hall and assigning jobs. And he does this several times throughout the day. And this tells us that this vineyard owner, this business person, is diligent. Also cares about the product. He wants to get it, the fruit off the vine, at its sweetest. And he wants to employ as many people as he can handle. And he goes out in 3-hour shifts. First at 6 a.m., that's the start of a business day. At 9 o'clock, that's the next watch of the day. And then at noon, and then at 3, and then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, with 1 hour left to go, he goes back to the marketplace, finds people still hanging around, saying, "Why are you here? Why aren't you working? You too come and work in the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will pay you." Now, please know that what is right does affect the whole culture of the business. And if your business, your household, your own personal relationships are based on what is not right, your company employees will also figure out to cut corners, to shave off quality, and otherwise take advantage of a vulnerable population, the stupid customer. So here's a picture of a vineyard, kind of from a top-down view. What is it that people are getting from your influence? What mood is there in your household? What are your kids learning about your values? Money has no value until you and I give it value. And when the Titanic's going down, money means nothing. But in the course of normal commerce and running an economy, a dollar's a dollar and we can do a lot with it. What are you doing with yours? I want us to think for just a minute about those folks who are still in the marketplace at 5 o'clock. Why are you still standing around? Because nobody has hired us. Have you ever been unemployed? You ever been said no to? Have you ever been kind of pulled out of line because you just don't qualify for something you want? When I was in seminary and coming upon graduation, we had apartments and shared a common hallway and stairwell. On the second floor, my neighbor, a Baptist, a chaplain in the Army, was applying for jobs. And he had what he called the wailing wall outside in the stairwell. And it was taped on the wall, all his rejection notices. Every church, every position that said no to him. And he said, "If I didn't do this, I'd be crying." Can you imagine the sense of low self-esteem? Can you remember not having enough to just buy groceries? Wondering how you're possibly going to survive on this pittance that you're getting from some place. And the vineyard owner senses concern for those who are in a very, very tough spot. God bless the angels who pick up the strays, who give us a chance. You know, this morning, before the first service, someone came up to me and said, "Would you be willing to take on somebody who just needs to do some community service?" DUI, community service. I don't have a business where I can assign dollars to give somebody. I mean, this is run by our session, our board, but I could do that. I could have somebody come and fulfill their civic duty because of their mistakes here at the church. We'll do the background checks and all the rest. It'll be appropriate. But won't that help somebody who's in deep doo-doo? Somebody who's really screwed up. And we have people who have given opportunities to people who have been unemployed for short periods of time, or otherwise given them a chance. Why are you still standing here in the marketplace? Pray for that angel to come and give you an opportunity. And maybe you're somebody who can bless somebody with that opportunity. But don't get greedy. Don't start comparing. There's something in the church called steeple envy. It's looking at a bigger church and feeling inferior in some way. Well, some of us start getting used to our pay and we start thinking we deserve more than we agreed upon, more than our contracted amount of money, and we start comparing ourselves to others. Or a business owner compares her business with a neighbor's business at the mall or someplace else and wonders why God is blessing that person seemingly more than me. Watch out for comparing yourself with others, because God can use you just with what you have. And watch out for business practices that aren't particularly cool. One business owner promised, after a successful year, a bonus check of $5,000 for all the employees. And they were so excited about this bonus at the end of the year. And then the boss said to these excited employees, "And if you work hard all through next year, I'll come back and sign your check and you'll get your money." Be satisfied with what you agreed to work for, and then be smart in your negotiations the next round. Usually, where you start, it's an incremental climb. So find a way to get your best foot in. But when you're a Christian and you're doing business, your attitude is so important. This is less about the employees and more about the vineyard owner, the master of the house, the mistress of the house, the one who owns the business or runs the business or the classroom, somebody with influence and opportunity. This is a story about losing perspective. Remember, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a vineyard owner. We who have relative gifts can lose perspective, and we can get self-absorbed, and we can say, you know, it's all about me. Or we can start comparing. We already talked about that, not satisfied with the incremental successes. Or we can become too presumptive with what God wants to do with us. And we can distort the value of the money and of the success and of the employees that work with us. We have to watch that. If you're a Christian leader, you need to keep perspective and remember that it's not all about you, it's about God, and you reflect who or what is your Lord and Master. Remember who you are in setting forth your mission and follow His vision. And remember whose you are. You belong to the King who has a kingdom of heaven. So our final slide, as the band is getting together, is reminding us of why Jesus came in the world: to serve, not to be served. The last will be first. Reversals abound. Jesus tells another story about goats and sheep, and he says, if you neglect the poor, if you neglect to hire, if you hoard your money, if you keep your talents to yourself, if you don't bless other people, if there's no joy in your life, in your relative wealth, in your relative abundance, then you're lost. And you'll be cast into the outer darkness. Many are called, but few are chosen, because it's hard to be a leader. It's hard to manage wealth. It's hard to be a boss. It's hard enough just to manage our own wits and our own soul. But if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what do you have? Instead, bring love and joy and opportunity into this world, and enjoy yours. Amen.